we can turn to Daniel chapter 1, that'd be good. I have a few short things to share from here. And while you're turning there, maybe we should just, I'm just going to pray. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would lead and guide us through your word this morning, that your Holy Spirit would give us understanding, and that it would be applicable to each of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So my question is, how old do you think Daniel was when he got taken into captivity? Any guesses? Who had it? 18? I heard 18. I saw 16. I saw 17 in the research I was doing. So right around that age, right? Young adult, very young adult. And yet we see a few things about Daniel here in chapter 1. I'm going to start reading chapter 1, verse 1. It says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into the hand with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. Then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had the ability to serve in the king's palace and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. So there's a few things I just noticed here. Verse 3 and 4. First of all, the people they selected were those that were probably pretty studious people. When I say that is, they probably weren't sluggards, right? They were probably pretty faithful at whatever they found themselves doing. So as a natural school teacher, it's easy to find out after a month or two, it doesn't even take that long, to see those in the class that are pretty diligent. They have a desire to learn and to do well at whatever they put their hand to. Well, these are the type of people that we see here that they chose. And not only that, it says in verse 4 that they had the ability to serve in the king's palace and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. In other words, these that they were going to select, Daniel and some of his friends, and there was others as well, that they selected to come, they were in the world. They were learning the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. They were in the world. Just like you and I are called to be in the world. So there they were. And I just think of our grads, and I think, you know what? They've been brought up in homes that have taught them to work diligently, to be faithful at whatever they find themselves doing. And yet, we know that we haven't just raised them to stay in our homes. They need to go out, right? There's a purpose. Like arrows are meant to fly. They're supposed to accomplish a purpose, right? In the same way, our youth, whether you're graduating this year or in the years to come, your goal is to be able to go into the world and be a light, make a difference. And so here we see these people where they were learning worldly literature, worldly things. Verse 5, it says, and the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. Now, from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belshazzar, Hananiah, Shadrach, Mishael, Meshach, Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. So I find this interesting. So here this Daniel is, taken into captivity, different country. He's learning all kinds of things. I'm sure some of them are not the best. But yet he had conviction about something. He had conviction about the food they were going to serve him. And so he made a decision. He didn't want to defile himself. He wanted to be faithful to his God in the midst of the world. In the midst of going and learning these things. So sometimes we have to go out and we got to learn things too. And some of our instructors are godly and some of them aren't. And depending where we're going, often they're not. They're using language we don't want to hear. But there's certain things they're teaching us that are valuable. And so here we see Daniel. He was able to figure out how to get through all of these things. And yet in the midst of it, he did not want to defile himself. He wanted to stand up for what was right in his own convictions. I was encouraged by that. And you know what? He knew when he was asking for something different that there's a possibility he could suffer. And often when we stand up for what is right, we're going to suffer in different ways, right? Sometimes people say things, they look at us a different way, they can make fun of us, etc. But Daniel didn't seem to fear that. He was not seeking man's approval. It could have offended the king. The king's like, I'm giving you this delicate food. Most people can't afford the food I'm offering you. But yet, you don't want it? He wasn't concerned about that. He was concerned about pleasing his heavenly king, right? That's who he was concerned about pleasing. And so there's a good example for us, I think. So let's keep going here. I was just thinking even of our three grads. I think we're going to hear more from each of them. But when you go into a university setting, you're going to hear and see things. And then if you choose not to partake of them, you'll get made fun of. If you go into welding or you go into mechanics, from my experience, when I was in a welding shop, I spent time there too. Right? When I went into different suppliers in construction, there's all kinds of things that you have to be on guard of. And when you choose to set yourself apart from certain conversations or certain things that are visible around, people will have a tendency to want to make fun of you. But we have to make a choice. Are we going to defy ourselves or not? Are we going to set ourselves apart? Verse 9, it says, now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. Interesting, eh? Didn't that happen to Jesus too? Didn't it say that Jesus found favor in the eyes of God and man? And he can do that. But there's often a test there to see who are we going to seek to honor. Right? Are we going to honor God first and primarily? Verse 10 says, and the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your food and drink. For why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king. So Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days and let them give us vegetables to eat and drink water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies. And as you see fit, so deal with your servants. And so you can see even the gentleman in charge of Daniel and his friends, he was scared of the king. But yet Daniel didn't seem that scared of the king. He wanted to please his God. He did not want to defile himself. Verse 14 says, so he consented with them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Thus the steward took away their portion of delicacies and the wine that they were to drink, and gave them vegetables. As for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days, when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Then the king interviewed them, and among them all, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they served before the king. It's interesting. They got promoted big time, right? They were serving right before the king. Remember, there was a whole lot of people they selected to go into this 3 years of intense training. But yet it was these four that were selected to go and serve before the king. And it's interesting. How did this all start? Why? Because they had this desire to honor God in everything, even in the midst of the place and the worldly place that they were. And it reminds me of a small passage I'll share in 1 Samuel 2. In 1 Samuel 2, we can see here where Samuel's talking to Eli. And it says in verse 29, I'm just going to read a couple of verses. It says, why do you kick at my sacrifice and offer which I have commanded in my dwelling place? And honor your sons more than me. So here Eli is like the priest, and he's got his sons who are in the priesthood. And he's being rebuked because he's saying, look, you are doing what's not right. Why? Because you seek to honor your sons more than me. It's backwards. The opposite of Daniel. Daniel wanted to honor God more than the king, people. In the same way, we ought to honor God more than people. But Eli had it backwards. It says, to make yourselves fat with the best of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Verse 30. Therefore, the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me. For those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me, I will be lightly esteemed. But those who honor me, I will honor. And that's what I see here with Daniel. Is Daniel sought to honor the Lord. And what did the Lord do? He honored Daniel. He exalted him and his three other friends to this place where he was serving the king. And I was thinking the same will go true to go for us, even though we may not be able to see how that's going to happen. It's going to take faith. And there's one other thing I see here that's really encouraging that I think we need to all cling to, is that Daniel was the one, I think, and his three friends, they had a conviction to not partake of these delicacies and the wine. But yet it was one of the four that was willing to act on the conviction, Daniel. Daniel acted on the conviction, and when he did that, what happened? His three friends followed, but it took one to be obedient to what was in the heart. And you know what? When we do that, often we're going to pull others up with us. And so not only are you going to be able to please the Lord, but also others will then please him too. And so we want to be those kinds of people when we're out in our workplaces, when we're out in the world, wherever we might be. You think of what Daniel did. Pretty much he set up and he bore the burden to get Israel out of captivity. But it started when he was 16, 17, 18, being faithful, right, to God. And as a result of that, others followed. And so we want to be people like that ourselves.